Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to KingScottRadioTV.com. Well, today we have our author on the phone line, and we're going to talk about her book. And ladies and gentlemen, I've been really reading up on this subject matter, and our author, Jamila, is going to give us some discernment of the things that we should be looking for referencing these terrible diseases. Jamila, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me on, Kevin. I'm Jamila Sabir Calloway. I'm the author of Alzheimer's and Dementia Caregiver Guide. And it's a guide for people who are taking care of loved ones that have been diagnosed with different types of dementia, and specifically Alzheimer's.
Okay. So right off the bat, I want people to know how to get this book. We're going to mention that more frequently because we want people to order it. We want churches to pay attention to it because some of the congregations are older now. And I think it's important that people begin to notice different symptoms of these issues that come up in your later age. But I do have a quick question. Are these symptoms and these reactions, are they found in younger people as well?
Yeah. I mean, I think that there are cases where Alzheimer's or certain of the dementia category diseases do appear in younger people. That's a possibility always. Mm-hmm. Usually, the older aging community that is afflicted with specifically the Alzheimer's, but there are younger people that have been diagnosed with some of these diseases. And I'll just go ahead and jump in, Kevin. A lot of people think that dementia and Alzheimer's is the same thing, and I'll just differentiate it for you. Dementia is kind of an umbrella term used for, I guess dementia can be defined as a condition that leads to impairment in mental ability, such as thinking and learning and memory, etc. However, Alzheimer's is a type of dementia. And you can think of dementia as the broader term. Alzheimer's is a specific type of dementia, and it's a brain disease that gradually worsens over time. You know, in the early stages, it affects the part of the brain responsible for learning, and it leads to changes in your memory and your thinking and your reasoning.
Hmm. Okay. So I want to let people know how they can get this book because a lot of people have responded to our broadcasts thus far, and the information is there, but I think it's also important that while we're on the air, we remind them how to do this to make it really simple and really easy. So can you talk about that for a moment?
Sure. It's available on Amazon at this point, Amazon.com. If you go to Amazon and you put in the name of the book, Alzheimer's and Dementia Caregiver Guide, and then you can put a comma and then you put my first name, Jamila, J-A-M-I-L-A-H. There's several books out there, but if you put Jamila, mine will pop right in.
Okay.
And you can order it there off of Amazon.
Okay. And while they're there...
Also, I just want to mention that if you've accessed this particular, I think there's a link that you have there on your page. I'm not really sure that you can just link. You can just click the link and it goes straight to the book.
Yes, we do. That's been on there, and I'm hoping that people take this seriously because it is happening, and people. You know, church communities, the aging communities should be aware of the development of what happens. So the symptoms that you're talking about, can you give more description of that and what people should be looking for?
Sure. Initially, and we're talking about Alzheimer's now. I just want to let everybody know we're talking about symptoms for Alzheimer's. In a general sense, it's the symptoms are memory loss. The person might have difficulty solving problems or making decisions. Also, confusion about time or place can take place. At times, there might be challenges with speaking or writing. And then also mood changes and personality changes are sometimes red flags for people who are have the onset of the Alzheimer's diagnosis. In the beginning, you know, patients might have some difficulty remembering recent learned information, such as names, appointments, or recent events. And then also routine tasks sometimes, like cooking or dressing, might take longer. It might require more effort than before. Like I said before, patients might lose track of dates and seasons and the passage of time. You know, they might forget where they are or how they got there. These are signs that you can look for. And when these things manifest in someone, you might want to go ahead and get a diagnosis. Sometimes in language, sometimes people have trouble finding the right words in conversation. Written communication can also be affected.
Wow.
Another symptom is just misplacing items becomes more common, and the person may struggle to retrace their steps to find them. You know, they just kind of forget where they put things. And to a, you know, to a large degree, a lot of us do this from time to time. But these symptoms are things that become chronic. Mm-hmm. When these things become more prevalent in someone, and it hasn't been that way before with this individual, those are the red flags. Those are the things that you might want to look at and get a doctor's evaluation. And a lot of times you can just go to the person's primary physician will do it. You don't have to go to a neurologist or anything initially because, you know, your primary physician should be able to just give you a quick mental test to evaluate whether or not this is something that you need to be concerned with.
So, Jamila, when you take that person in to talk to a doctor, are you with them? Are you in the room with them?
That depends on the family structure.
Okay.
That depends on the family structure. Normally, there is a family member with the person. You know, every family is different. You know, it could be just a friend. I mean, every situation is different and unique. That's something that I can say. But if you are, if it is your husband or your mother or parent or a sister or brother or something like that, you probably would have someone to go with the person that needs to be assessed.
Okay. Well,
a couple of more symptoms, because I think it's important for people to understand what the symptoms can be. Sometimes the person might withdraw from hobbies or work or social activities, you know, due to increasing challenges that they don't tell you. You know, they might become more aloof or more quiet. Now, these kind of personality changes are things that you might want to take note of, even mood swings, you know. Those are the kinds of things you want to look out for. And the earlier, the better. Because once you begin to understand and the person has a diagnosis, it's easier for you to plan, number one, and to assist the person as the disease continues to develop. For example, you get, you know, the memory loss, the first sign, you know, forgetting recent events or something like that. A strategy to assist that person might just be memory aids like calendars or notes or reminders to help to keep them on track of important dates and tasks. These kinds of things can be put in place, especially if you know and you have a diagnosis. And so then you can begin to prepare and to begin to do things and put in place things that will assist the person that has the diagnosis, that has the disease.
Jamila, are there any medications that help with this process or to help?
That would be up to your physician. There are medications, and that would be, that's why it's important to take the person in to be diagnosed. If medication is needed, you know, that would be discerned by a medical professional.
I see.
Early on, normally not. Normally, medication isn't given until things have progressed a little further. You know, we're talking about initial kinds of early symptoms right now. And just to give you some strategy, you know, like if a mood, you know, and personality changes, like I was saying, you want to begin to validate their feelings and to create a supportive environment, you know, use a calm and gentle tone, you know, those kinds of things, you know, or engage in activities that they enjoy, just to elevate their mood, such as listening to music maybe, or walking if the person likes to dance, or something like that to keep their mood up, you know. But that's why I said if you start to see some of these things happen, you will want to go ahead, and I recommend that you go ahead and get an initial evaluation so that you know what you're dealing with, you know, because if you know what you're dealing with, then you can go ahead and you can implement strategies that will assist the loved one, because at all times our intent is to make the loved one or the person that is diagnosed with the disease, we want to make their life, as their caregiver, we want to make their life good. We want it to make it, we want them to be happy. We want them to not be stressed out. You know, we want to assist them as they move along the path with this disease.
So in terms of... do they actually need to have someone with them after a period of time to monitor, you know, the behavior, to make sure that they're not getting themselves in any trouble or danger or trying to, you know, cook something? Is it better to have someone around?
Yeah, that's a one-on-one discernment. There's no way I can answer that. Every situation, every person, every circumstance is going to be different. Every family structure is going to be different. You know, what I've done in the book is to outline and to give you some warning signs and then to give you strategy to help not only the loved one with the disease, but yourself. Because it's a very trying kind of experience being a caregiver for a loved one. It's not an easy task. And so this book will give you strategies, and it will also help you cope with what is going on with your loved one in a way that your loved one is supported and you are supported.
I see. So how many pages, you know, that when I looked at the manuscript, how many pages are in this particular book that you, if you remember?
Yeah, the book is 197 pages, 191 pages.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, you know, this reference is in the back. There's a glossary in the back. There's a lot, you know. But yes, the book is 192 pages.
And would you find yourself reading more chapters or different chapters more frequently than others, just to get yourself on a good pace to understand how this process is proceeding?
Yeah, well, the way that it's set up is that you can use this book as a reference book. So if you see particular, for example, particular behaviors with your loved one, you can go to the chapters that would be dealing with those particular things that you're dealing with, that you're seeing and that you're noting. If you have questions, for example, about how to put the finances in place, I have a chapter that deals with how you you can approach the finances. This is only, of course, if the person is in a position where they can no longer take care of paying their bills and doing those kinds of things. It's a slippery slope. And so this book will be a guide. It will be a hopefully a helpmate, so that when things come up, there's a chapter for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can look and you can find some resources, some ideas of what you can do for your loved one and what you can do for yourself. The kinds of things you need to put in place, even emotionally. I have a whole chapter on confronting guilt, for example, because that comes up, especially those of you that are, or those individuals who will be taking care of people who are very close to them, a husband, a wife, you know. You were talking about younger people, even younger people. I mean, who knows who's going to be diagnosed with this disease? A parent. You know, a brother, it could be a sister, a cousin, it could be anyone, a loved one, you know. And so you want to do the right thing, and a lot of times don't know what that is, and so you got guilt. This is a common thing that happens with caregivers, because you want to do the right thing, you feel bad, you're exhausted, you know, all of those kinds of things. So the book takes care of all of that. It covers the gamut of what happens, and the kinds of things that you can do to make this journey as pleasant as possible. I was a caregiver. My perspective, this book is written from the perspective of a caregiver. And I took care of my mom, and the information that I had to gather from all places on the planet, I pulled everything together and I put it in this book.
Well, let me ask you this. We talked about what we should do. Can you tell us what we shouldn't do? Some of the things that we should not do in reference to going through this journey, as you put it. What are those things that we shouldn't do to address this issue?
That's such a good question. It's really important not to make the person who has the disease feel like something's wrong with them. Even though we know that they're having problems cognitively, we want to always validate their personhood. We always want them to feel understood, even though they might not be. But the caregiver's job is to make sure that the individual who is receiving the care always feels safe and always feels validated. So there should never be a time when you snap at them, when you're approaching them in an angry manner. You know, you want to make sure that they're comfortable and that they feel seen and understood. If you need a moment, you take a moment outside of the room or whatever. And that's in the book too, things that you can do. Because a lot of times it's a really challenging thing. You know, it's a really challenging thing to have to deal with someone who is not cognitively all there. And so sometimes you have to take time to take a deep breath before you go in, you know, do a war dance before you go in there so that you know that you can be kind and you can be caring and not be frustrated. Don't go in, you know, all wound up and everything. And, you know, it happens, you know, and we and I get very upset at how elder abuse is so prevalent in our society. And my prayer is that this book can serve to assist people who are on this caregiver journey and to be able to assist not only the person and the patient that has the diagnosis, but also the caregiver.
Okay, that is a good point. Well, we're going to take a break for a moment, and we'll come right back. This is KingScottRadioTV.com. So, we're back. Jamila, we were talking about something off the air. Can you go over that again?
Yes. One of the things that I wanted to make sure I mentioned, because you asked the question, what should you not do? And one of the main things I think people should not do is to try to do this by themselves. It's to try to go on this caregiver journey by themselves. Seek resources. Resources are listed in the book to get you started. For example, there's a Department of Aging in every metropolis in the United States. So you can even start there. Caregiver support groups. Those are also out there. And because now we have the internet and even just the telephone, you can call into some of these groups and just talk to people who are going through what you're going through. Because I went through it. I've been there. I've gone through it. And I'm telling you, these caregiving support groups are phenomenal. Even if it's just somebody who can listen to what you're going through, and you don't have to explain nothing. They get it right off the bat in terms of some of the frustrations that you're living with. And they even, a lot of them have a lot of resources. Some of them can be local resources that you can tap into to give you some help. So I just wanted to make sure that you try not to do this, go on this journey by yourself. That was my main point.
Okay. Well, this has been another great interview. We're getting deeper and deeper into this mechanism as to how to be of service, because a lot of what you're talking about is being of service to an individual that at this point sometimes can't help themselves and they need assistance. And this book gives them that guide, and that is what's really important. So what will be your parting words, Jamila?
My parting words to anyone that is embarking on this journey or even knows someone who's in this position is to seek help. You know, get a diagnosis as soon as possible. And even if you don't get a diagnosis, you know, get this book or some book to help you navigate through. Don't do this by yourself. You don't have to be by yourself.
Okay. Well, this has been another broadcast. Give us the name of the book again and how people can get the book and to help you to put out reviews as well to get this book as popular as possible.
Okay. The name of the book is Alzheimer's and Dementia Caregiver Guide by Jamila Sabir Calloway. It is available on Amazon. Go to Amazon.com and look up books, and you type in the name of the book and comma with my name, and it'll come right up. And so you can purchase the book. And right now you can purchase the book in an electronic form. It's available as an ebook for $1 on Amazon. And once you download the book, you can leave. I would be very appreciative if you would leave a review of how it helped you and how you're using the book.
Okay, this has been another broadcast by King Scott Radio and TV, and we are going to come back with another interview later, and we're going to continue to develop and talk about this issue that we have in front of us that is so important. KingScottRadioTV.com. Thank you.